And it is a good day. A.J. Brown, a member of your New England Patriots. All they need is a physical. Hopefully that knee isn't too jacked up. You got that in my head now, Ken.
Yeah, even if it is, you're just moving on.
just moving on.
Get him a new knee.
Listen, we can worry about that another day. Today I'm feeling good. Because, you know, as we were saying, you know, when was the last player to come to Boston that you got this excited about? And I said Kyrie Irving. And I know that didn't end well. But legitimately, I think that's the last one that I was like, wow, this could be an amazing season. So we'll see. Ted thinks that A.J. Brown is worth two wins. Who knows? According to Vegas, they got better odds. They moved up from plus 1,700 to win the Super Bowl to plus 1,600. But on with us right now on 93.7 WEEI is ESPN. He is a man who knows everything. He's an insider. He's a senior NFL reporter for ESPN, Mr. Jeremy Fowler. What a good day to have him on. Jeremy, did this all go down kind of the way that you thought it was going to?
It went down close to exactly how I thought it would, and it's great to be with you.
But yeah, you too.
We knew that the Eagles wanted a first-round pick. Originally, they wanted a first-round pick and a lot more, but that was back around free agency. And then the market softened. You know, there were some teams that checked in on it, but there was never like a huge market. I think the Eagles are still pretty happy with what they got, which is the first-round pick in 2028. You know, and I was checking yesterday and this morning, other, you know, teams I talked to around the league thought that that's what it would be. And then I believe they get the fifth round pick. So not too bad, you know, but for the Patriots, they are all in right now. Like they're going for it. Similar to the Rams, right? They just did that Myles Garrett trade. I see New England in a similar boat. They went to the Super Bowl. They feel like they could be better this year. A.J. Brown solves a lot, even though he's going to be 29. And maybe he's a half step slower on paper, but he is a guy who rolls coverage. You know, that's why receivers get paid. If you can roll coverage, draw double teams, make contested catches, you make a huge difference. So, like, for that reason, it's a monumental trade for New England on a monumental day.
Jeremy, why didn't more teams want A.J. Brown?
Well, I think part of it was the asking price. Part of it was the fact that it kind of was clear in league circles that New England and Philadelphia were somewhat down the road. You know, I think at the end here, like New England probably got a little squirmy and figured, hey, like, you know, we're not overly eager to give up this first round pick. We'll do it if we have to, you know. Maybe they were hoping another team would get involved, or the Patriots really could have drug this out if they wanted to and use their leverage a little more. But the fact that they had been talking about this for a while, other teams kind of knew that New England was in play, and if they got involved, they'd either be sort of used a little bit potentially, or it would just be too costly to try to go over the top on New England, which was pretty motivated to get it done because of the Mike Vrabel connection. So, you know, I saw the Chiefs out there. I was told throughout that that was a non-starter for them. You know, the Rams inquired. I think the Rams' interest back in March was real, but it was pretty quick. You know, they would have had to do something with Davante Adams. I mean, I guess there's a world where A.J. Brown, Puka, and Devontae could have coexisted together, but they opted not to do that. And then, like, when I checked on it last week, they just weren't really involved. And now we know they were trying to do the Myles Garrett trade. So there just wasn't a natural team that was thin enough at receiver to be desperate and willing enough to jump out. And, you know, Brown had some issues last year. Wasn't coming off his best season. You saw some of the antics on the sideline, like all that wasn't ideal, but Mike Vrabel's the perfect complement to that with his past relationship with AJ. He can reach him.
Jeremy, what do you think, if anything, happened today with the negotiations with New England and Philly? Was it pretty much all, was the framework done for months? Was there any haggling today, or how did it go?
Well, you know, my understanding is that it was kind of a cross the T, dot the I situation. You know, I do think they were going over some of the deal in the final hours. Yes. I didn't sense it was done over the weekend as I was reporting for SportsCenter, but I do think that that first round pick concept, the 2028 one, was sort of the catalyst for all this. You can work around that, you know, but Philly was pretty dead set on getting that. I think originally they wanted a first and a second round pick for AJ. That was sort of the whisper that was going around free agency, and they were probably never getting that, but at least if they had the one bird in hand that New England felt somewhat comfortable giving, you could do the rest. So I'm not sure if the fifth round pick was decided today or not, but you know, I think they at least were able to work on that in the final days and hours to just solidify it. And then a lot of it's like just waiting till 4 p.m. because of the situation with the June 1st and being able to spread the salary cap over 2 years instead of one.
Jeremy, is AJ expecting a deal restructure of any kind?
I have not heard that yet. So he's due, I want to say, what, $30 million around there over the next few years?
I think it's 32 year, on average. Yeah, I think I'd read somewhere 32.
Yeah, I want to say last I checked, it was somewhere around 30 in cash this year, which, you know, that's pretty good. I mean, I haven't heard anything about a restructuring or a reworking right now. And, you know, the Eagles did this deal very prematurely when they originally re-upped AJ on his third contract, his third career deal. They did that quite early in his second deal. So he's got years out that the Patriots could play with if they want to try to restructure this thing. So we'll see. But, you know, he definitely ain't taking a discount, that's for sure. So it's a matter of, like, do they want to, you know, kind of redo this, maybe take a year off? But I don't know why they would want to do that. So I have not heard any momentum on a restructured or reworked contract.
Jeremy, how surprised are you that the Pats would give up a first? I mean, we've seen the Rams do this a lot, but it's pretty unheard of here, at least, you know, in the old era. Now it's a new dynamic with Elliott Wolf and company. How surprised are you or are other teams that they're willing to go this far?
Yeah, I'm not too surprised because of the relationship. It most situations in the NFL, you go back to relationships. Players like to sign players they've had that they trust, that they've had success with. And so the A.J. Brown-Mike Vrabel marriage was a nice, you know, boiling point or catalyst for all this to get done. And just talking to people over the last week or so, I just really sense New England feels like they can jump out here and be really good again. You know, they feel like they got the team to do it. The only position they feel like they're thin at right now is edge rusher. And that's not off my radar either, to do another deal or to add an edge rusher at some point. We'll see. I don't know. It might be a little rich for them, since they already gave up draft capital for A.J. Brown, but I could see it. So they just feel like they're there. You know, they watched the Super Bowl where there weren't a whole lot of guys getting open. You know, Stephon Diggs is now out, and even though he was productive last year, more of a possession guy. You know, A.J. Brown, for his warts, is just – he's on the short list of guys that can go downfield, win 50-50 matchups. He's great at contested catches. He's probably the very best at that. And we know Drake May throws a great deep ball. So I think you're going to see a lot of that. And you're going to see safeties helping on him. And that just changes the math for your offense, at least for a year or two until he starts to decline. But right now you still have that in place. And look, he's going to be motivated coming out of last year, right? He wanted a new offense and a new change, and he got it.
No question. No question. We're talking to ESPN senior NFL reporter Jeremy Fowler. Jeremy, you just mentioned edge rusher and the Patriots potentially looking around. Any names that you've heard being mentioned as far as the Patriots and an edge rusher?
Well, you know, there's Josh Sweat is out there a little bit. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau, I think, would be a fit. The Giants aren't really trying to trade him right now, but they, at least before the draft, they looked into it. It would probably require like a second round pick, maybe a quality third round pick to get him, to make the Giants at least even reconsider it. Because right now I think they're rolling with it. But those are names that come to mind. I'm just saying it wouldn't shock me if the team tried to address that position now as a final piece before week one.
Well, this is going to be an unprecedented offseason for the Patriots as far as money. Because, I mean, we're already looking at this A.J. Brown move that just happened. On top of that, you've got Christian Gonzalez, who is holding out right now, and there's a question as to whether or not the Patriots are going to set the market with him. I mean, the edge rusher would just make things even more expensive. So what are you hearing about Christian Gonzalez and the amount of money that you believe that he's asking for and what you believe is going to happen eventually?
Well, this one's fascinating because it's not just about Christian Gonzalez. It's about what's going on around him. So Seattle wants to re-sign Devin Witherspoon, who's another star cornerback, right? He was a key piece to their Super Bowl run. So Devin Witherspoon and Christian Gonzalez have the same agents. And so they're in a position to reset the market with both players. Whoever gets done first, I suspect, will be above Trent McDuffie, who's now number one, I believe, at around a little over $30 million a year. Christian Gonzalez is regarded, at least in league circles and coaches I talk to, as a little higher than some of those guys even, like as far as his ability to play man coverage on an island is really, really rare. So my point is, does Weatherspoon get done first and then Gonzalez comes over the top? How do they do that? It's worth keeping an eye on Seattle. Can Seattle get that done? And then Gonzalez might have a clear path to get done. But right now it looks like the strategy is to wait on both, marinate this thing a little bit, and see who comes out with a big deal.
Wow. I mean, we're not used to this as Patriots fans, seeing them dole out this kind of money. It is very, very strange. Real quick before we let you go, just one last question, because you know, once AJ Brown was here, all of a sudden we started getting texts and calls. It's an embarrassment of riches. People are saying, well, can you get Stephon Diggs back as well? Is there any chance that the Patriots would think about potentially bringing Stephon Diggs back in as well if he's having a hard time finding a team?
Well, I'm not sure on that. I haven't heard anything firm and fast on that, but I do know they were happy with the relationship last year. They felt like he had a good year for them. There were no major hiccups, you know. I know he's got the court cases. It seems like that will all get worked out, or has been. So for those reasons, I wouldn't take it off the table. I just haven't heard anything hard and fast on that. So, you know, I think Kyle Williams, they want to get more involved too. They really like him. He just didn't have a lot of opportunities. That's a guy I think would be ascending in that offense.
Awesome. Well, Jeremy Fowler, hey, we really appreciate you coming on with us, especially on essentially last minute on a day like today.
Yeah, thank you.
We really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Jeremy, for coming on.
Anytime, guys. Thank
you. All right, thanks, man. That is a Jeremy Fowler.
Interesting
senior
on
NFL
on the pass rusher. Very interesting.
Yeah. So who do you say?
Sweat.
And Kayvon Thibodeau as well?
That was Wiggs' guy from last year. He definitely wanted that.
Well, I think he – I mean, geez. I haven't heard anything about the Giants wanting to move on. I that seems odd to me, but – hey, if they did that,
give up a second. I mean, hey, if you're all in, I guess.
Listen, because Ted was saying that was the only position that he believed right now they had not addressed. And if they end up getting it like Thibodeau here, oh my God.
I don't think it would be a second for Thibodeau, maybe like a fourth or fifth.
I don't know, but that's actually the first I've heard of any of that. So thank you, Jeremy. That's a nice little scoop.
It's an excellent job. And you got to have one. Ben Volen, our buddy from the Globe. Facts, Pats gave up a first-round pick and more for an expensive 29-year-old receiver with a bulky knee with no other teams in on the bidding.
By the way, did you see the picture that Stiz just sent us?
No.
Somebody has photoshopped Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel hugging H.A. Brown at that adults-only resort.
Oh, come on.
Pretty good. That's a meme I actually laughed at. All right, 617-779-7937. We are not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes taking your calls on A.J. Brown.